I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Webber.
And
this is 2020. This is 2020. This is 2020. I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
Wow, that was good. That was good.
It's 2020.
This is 2020. 2020 like means a lot to me, actually. Not the year. The show.
The show?
I don't give a shit about the year. Who cares?
Why weren't we just talking about this? The show used to scare me.
We did, but we were talking about it in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the podcast.
Oh, things happen in real life.
The show used to mean I could stay up late, like, with my mom and, like, watch 2020 with her. And I don't even think nothing in that show, like, stuck, but it was all about, like, murdering wives. You know, it didn't, it was very, like, People Magazine, you know, not the celebrity stuff.
I think that I confused it. I just conflated it with Dateline and 60 Minutes, both of which I think were a little scarier than 2020. Like, Dateline was a little darker. 60 Minutes was also the click, 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 tick, 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 tick of 60 Minutes freaked me out. I don't know. The whole thing just signified, like, doom for me, and I didn't like watching it, and it gave me nightmares.
60 Minutes was newsier, that's for sure. 60 Minutes was definitely more, like, respected. 2020 was always kind of, like, stupid, the stupidest one for sure. And
wow,
Dateline's kind of in the middle, depending on the era, you know? Barbara knows. Barbara knows.
Barbara said, this is 2020. It is 2020. We're still doing the same old shit. And this is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns. The first episode we've recorded in 2020.
Congratulations to us.
That feels big. That feels big. It feels monumental. We started this show back when it was just 2015.
16.
Still. That's a long time.
Oh, no. It's like 2020. It's so long. It's so long. But it was 2016. January. Our birthday is January 18th, 2016.
Our show's almost in kindergarten. We're going to play some. I know. Get it out of the house.
Come to go. I need to have my days back. So
I need my days back.
Having a kid. Oof.
Every parent's like, I'm going to kill you. Please don't do that. Okay.
Then you'd end up on 2020.
Or Dateline.
Or Dateline.
Okay. First call.
Hey, Who Weekly. Hope that y'all had amazing holidays. I love you. Also wanted to say, just heard the Hanukkah song that Lindsay did. It's incredible. It's a masterpiece. It's iconic. But given the recent press coverage of Tiffany Haddish's bat mitzvah, because she met her dad and found out that she's part Jewish, which I love, thought that she would be included. So consider me shook. And other than that, iconic, a masterpiece. Perfect. Amazing. I hope that y'all have an incredible new year. Love you both. And I'm so lucky to be with you. Keep it up with my shadow. Whoa. Crutch, crutch. Bye.
The reason I love this call is because it's peak hooligan, because it's so complimentary and so lovely and so nice, but they couldn't get out of it without being like, but also you forgot something.
Well, you know,
here's my commentary.
I'm not saying that I don't consider Tiffany Haddish to be Jewish, but what I'm saying is when you put your bat mitzvah on Netflix as a special, that's, you know, that's commercialism. And I do not have to recognize that in my pure song. Okay.
And your in your pure song.
I'm not going to promote a Netflix special in my pure song is what I'm saying to you. What is this?
It's the Madonna song Masterpiece from that movie W.E.
Uh-huh.
Remember, why it was nominated for the... Because your song was a masterpiece. Because your song was a masterpiece.
Okay, but that doesn't make... Just because somebody said the word masterpiece doesn't mean you need to play a song by Madonna called Masterpiece.
I cannot hear the word masterpiece without thinking of Madonna saying masterpiece.
That's your own brain worm, not one that you need to inflict on our listeners.
I'm sorry. This show is about inflicting brain worms on other people. That's what this show is. What else do you have to say about your thing? Is there any other, like, behind the music you can say?
Behind the music?
Like, how long did it take you to record it? How long did it take you to write it?
It took me about an hour to do all in full. That's crazy, I know. You're like, so little time, amazing. Yes, it's true. And the one line that really got me stuck was when...
Ooh, it's like genius.
I wanted the line, you know, the line where he goes like he converted like that. I wanted that to be Zooey Deschanel because she had converted for her ex-husband, which we had talked about one of our live shows. And it cracks me up that Zooey Deschanel is still Jewish, but like nobody wants to talk about it. You know,
it's really funny.
Like, it's so funny that Zooey Deschanel is like secretly still have to. I mean, she maybe have converted by now back to whatever she was. But for like a part of her life, she did convert to Judaism.
Is renouncing a conversion a thing? Like, I grew up Catholic, but it's like back. when I stopped, I didn't like do anything. I just like stopped going to church.
I guess you don't have to convert back. You just stop being, you just stop.
You stop recognizing that part of yourself.
With some rabbis like emailing you once a month being like, hey, Noe. Like,
just checking
no, that's
in.
That's not true. That's not true.
Did you see their latest photos together?
Yeah, ugh, they are just revoltingly cute.
They're really enjoying the new year.
They're really loving each other and their relationship, yeah.
Here's the People headline. Zooey Deschanel and, quote, sweetie, Jonathan Scott, celebrate first new year together with loving sweetie. Posts. She's I'm like, the luckiest sweetie. Gal, Zooey Deschanel said of boyfriend Jonathan Scott. And then there's photos of them hugging. And she says, a truly happy new year with my sweetie. And he said, once in a lifetime, you meet someone who changes everything.
Wow.
They kind of did change everything.
For me. And depending on like what she does this year, because she hasn't done stuff for a while. So like,
yeah.
I just am so curious what he's going to bring out in her. Like the Scott spirit of celebrity and the like the kind of work that they do, which is just nonstop shit. Is going to be an interesting thing to watch her like either like grasp onto or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then the sentence that will continue to haunt me, every version of this, it's always mentioned. A source previously told People that Deschanel and Scott bonded early in their relationship over a shared love of music after becoming friends on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke.
I'll never. And which
and the video
an episode
is still not
we've
out.
Never seen.
It's still not out.
I think Apple is holding that hostage because their rollout was so disastrous that they're like, you won't watch the morning show? Well, you're gonna have to stay subscribed so you can watch this fucking Carpool Karaoke.
You know what I think? My crazy conspiracy theory. It's that they met and then instantly got engaged and they were like, I love you. And he was like, I love you too. And they were like, we should get engaged on Carpool Karaoke reveal it in 6 months. And she was like, I think that's a great idea and I love you. Let's go to Little Dom's.
Shut up. Do you think, no. That's okay, that's insane. But the less insane version of that is that They met on Carpool Karaoke, and they're going to get engaged on an updated version of it that they're going to, like, work into the original, and they're going to release them all together.
I'm just sitting here nodding. I'm just sitting here nodding.
You're like, I agree. You're like, my version was insane. I realized that that's not true. But my version is a little bit more
reasonable. Slightly less insane, but also a million times more feasible.
I think that I would buy that.
The touch, the feel of marriage.
Fuck. Okay. Let's move on.
We all know Jessie J can do it like a dude, but now she's doing it without a dude. Jessie J and Tatum Tatum's love is no longer a masterpiece. Jessie J and Tatum Tatum's relationship falls like a domino. Twilight singer and She's the Man star, love goes from burning up to burning down. Crunch, crunch.
E-News, hire this person.
Hire this anonymous caller to Who Weekly. Hire him immediately.
I want to hear that again. This first part? Wait.
Yeah, that was inspiring.
We all know Jessie J can do it like a dude, but now she's doing it without a dude. Jessie J and Tatum Tatum's love is no longer a masterpiece. Jessie J and Tatum Tatum's relationship falls like a domino. Twilight singer and She's the Man star, love goes from burning up to burning down.
I'm picturing like a E-News editorial meeting.
Yeah, and that's like just some genius rattling off those. Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh! Everyone's so shocked. And then there's a little, you know, 9-to-5 montage, and he's running the place in like 2 months.
Right, he's the boss. He's the big boss. And all it took were these Jessie J headlines.
Speaking of comments.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, first time. Okay. So I am calling with some information about how the Olsen twins might have gotten that video to Ashley Benson. I don't know where this piece of information came into my brain. I feel like it was via, like, Teen Vogue or something. But Troy and Bella, whatever, was Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's next-door neighbor, and they were, like, best friends growing up. So it's possible they're still in touch, and one Pretty Little Liar was doing the other Pretty Little Liar a favor. Okay, love you guys. Crunch, crunch.
Troy and Belisario. Is that who she was referring to?
Yes.
And Ashley Benson are good friends. And Troy-Ann
is old friends with
the Olsons. But, like, and we don't know if they're still friends. We just, like, know that at one point they were friends.
Yes.
Someone else called and gave a theory. And their theory was even kind of more ridiculous, but it stuck in my head. And it was...
Okay, conspiracy theory. But could Cara Delevingne and Ashley Benson secretly be getting married? And could the Olsen twins be secretly designing one or both of their looks? Okay, crunch, crunch.
Like, let's just say they're going to be announcing their engagement. This is just a guess. And they're going to need wedding dresses or wedding looks. And the row is designing their looks. And so they've been in touch with Mary-Kate and Ashley. That's this person's sleuthing. Which, like...
I love smart speculation. That's not
the craziest. I mean, I think that's a little bit out there. Maybe not. I wouldn't bet my life on that one, but I would say it's not the least likely situation. The most likely is that there's like a publicist or like an agent or a manager that is connecting everyone.
Yeah.
Like that's truly, yeah.
What is it? Occam's Razor? Occam's Razor? Occam's Billy? Occam's Billy with an IE.
True. So this is, that's true. Oh, wow, you put our spawn in there. That was terrible. Occamsbilly.com/who.
It's God, what was I trying to say before I did a fake spawn?
I don't know.
It was something about, okay, no. So the thing is, it's sort of weird. Remember that she says, can't wait to meet you soon.
And can't wait to meet you soon.
That helps that argument because it's right. Like, they had plans to meet in the future. Why in the world would they meet her if it weren't for something professional?
You also just wouldn't make someone video who you've never met and not add, like, hope to meet you, like, you know, something kind of that's like kind way to end it. But you're right. Yeah. The soon is
soon.
Could be telling.
Can't wait to meet you soon.
And can't wait to meet you soon.
Can't wait to meet you soon.
Yeah. Interesting.
I believe everything. So
no, I know.
Of course, this sounds amazing, but
so
everything sounds amazing.
Just make it up, and Bobby will be like, yes, sounds plausible.
I love it. That sounds so, so true.
Yeah. If you have any more theories, I'd still like to hear them.
Yeah.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm watching the ABC New Year's Countdown, and Ryan Seacrest has his co-host, who has, like, dark hair and really big eyes, and I have no idea who she is. Like, I feel like I should know, but I don't know. So, who is she? Bye.
So, New Year's Eve, you've got, like, quite the buffet of options, and a true... Always, we talk about this every year, a true ragtag lineup across even the most themy platforms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think Jenny McCarthy, who's been like a mainstay at Dick Clark's Rockin' Whatever,
for
she
a
took
long
off
time.
This year. And yeah. She's not even, you know, she'll host the opening of a, you know, a box, a small box.
A small Jenny box. McCarthy?
Yeah.
A small box?
She'll, whatever, right? She'll host the opening of, you know... A Hanukkah present. Yeah, whatever. Whatever's available.
She'll host all 8 Hanukkah presents.
Yeah, every night of Hanukkah, she'll be there to open the present. She's hosting. Okay, the point is that she didn't do it this year. And it was, honestly, she got press for not doing it, which I thought was, like, the most evil genius thing is that Jenny McCarthy's getting press for not doing her job, like, the job that she normally does. They're like, why? And she's like, my kids. So she got press for that. So Lucy Hale stepped up and hosted alongside Ryan Seacrest, which I didn't watch. Lucy Hale, star of so many of our CW campaigns and maybe one to come if you're lucky. Seriously, this girl, she is so beloved, I have to say. She must kill a room in terms of casting.
People must really like this person.
Yeah, she must be amazing in the room. I feel like that sounds like mean, but I know, I just mean like, she just people must just really like her.
I keep picturing like Lucy Hale in the room with the whatever the execs, and then she leaves the room, and the two execs just look at each other and nod and smile.
Right,
like,
and a single tear Lucy. Rolls down.
It's Lucy.
Right, like the guy holding the camera who's filming the audition. He just looks back and he cries one tear.
You know, I always forget she was in Sister of the Traveling Pants 2.
Yeah. Oh, two.
She was the sister.
She was the sister. Who's dying? Oh, sorry.
Was she dying? No, she's not dying.
Oh, who was dying?
She's not dying. No, the girl died. Bailey dies in the first one.
Who was the second one?
The second one, the second one, no one dies. But Kostas gets married to someone else. And Kostas. They're like,
okay.
Kostas, who I think
Sister
is literally
from
Traveling like,
New Pants
Jersey.
2 is somehow not canon. Sorry. I know it
Sister
is.
Sister of the Traveling Pants 2 is so good.
No,
they're both so good.
I don't think 2 is canon. I don't know.
And we need the third one back. I think someone dies in the book series. One of the sisters of the Traveling Pants dies. Yes.
Does she get buried in the pants?
The sisterhood of the Traveling... No.
Can you imagine they get buried in the pants and then the pants like pop up somewhere else and they're like, whoa. They still fit.
You can't kill them. Wait, no. The books... Hold on, the books. Hold on.
I don't care about the book. Have you read the books? Is that why you're so...
Sisterhood Everlasting. It's called Sisterhood Everlasting.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. Well, because one of them dies. So Everlasting. Because she dies.
Tibby.
Dies.
Dies.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Tibby dies.
Yeah.
Tibby dies, is dying of Huntington's disease, but then she dies by drowning anyway.
What?
Tibby dies.
That's the character played by
Amber Tamblyn character.
She dies from Huntington disease, but also drowning.
Well, she's suffering from Huntington disease.
Do they bury
but
her
then
in
she dies.
The pants? Please check.
It doesn't say on the Wikipedia.
That's insane because that's a great ending.
I'm going to have to check it out from the library and see what
they
happens.
They really do fit you in all stages of life.
Yeah, she dies. We need a new
Can
sisterhood.
We move on.
We need to talk about the other people. So this is really, this is the reason we're talking about this is, yes, Lucy Hale is one of the Who's who was hosting one of the many, 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 many New Year's Eve countdown shows on television. But that was just one of them. That was ABC. That's it. There were so many
other
ones.
We didn't even list the lineup of performers on Dick Clark, which is interesting because half these people are there, but then like half of them are just like things that are taped a million
somewhere
years ago.
Else.
They stitch it together. It's very much like... From a live studio audience in like hell, it's, you know, Kelsey Ballerini, but it's like not. It was filmed. So we had this list, though, is wild. It's Post Malone, BTS, Sam Hunt, and Alanis Morissette. I guess they performed together, which I actually would like to see. So I'll Google that after. Mm-hmm. Paula Abdul. Oh, Vegas. She's doing a Vegas show. Ciara, which is like, duh. Of course, Ciara was there. She's always there. She's probably pissed Lucy Hale got the whatever. Kelsey Ballerini, as I did say. Blanco Brown, Dan and Shay, Green Day, Dua Lipa, Ava Max, of course, Megan Thee Stallion, Anthony Ramos, Salt-N-Pepa, Shied, I might be saying that wrong, but whatever, Sheryl Crow, Usher, and the Jonas Brothers. What a, like, Grammys list of, more just like, what a random list of people. No?
No, it's very random. And like, and you said, yeah, they're all over the country. Because I know that I was in New Orleans briefly over the break, and I saw them setting up the stage for Sheryl Crow and Usher.
Oh, they did it together?
Yeah. Well, they were performing Nashville? In the same night. They were in New Orleans.
It is cool that that it's like a multi-city New Year's thing where they like kind of pop around to different cities.
I was like, Josh, you should go see Sheryl Crow and Usher, because they were building the stage.
Right. And he was like, no, never.
Guess who of those two, guess who had the better time slot?
Usher.
Usher, yeah.
Yeah. Weirdly, I got that right. And then my favorite thing is there's another bit that says, there will also be a special appearance by country artist Jesse James Decker as she reveals the first ever Powerball Millionaire of the Year during the live broadcast. She doesn't even get to sing.
She's always singing. Actually, she's never singing as far as I know.
That's true. I've never heard her sing in my whole life. Ever. Never heard this woman sing.
Fox was hosted by Steve Harvey.
But also Maria Menounos. And Rob Gronkowski.
Name an aspect of culture that doesn't also have Maria Menounos.
I know, it's true. The ultimate host. My favorite type of person is somebody who's only host. There's no other things they do. Chain Smokers were involved. Florida Georgia Line. Tyga and the Killers, which actually is a hilarious. Tyga and the Killers sounds like an amazing band, a super group. Mm-hmm. Gordon Ramsay, Will Arnett, and Jenna Dewan also made appearances. That's because I think they have shows. Mm-hmm. So Fox is like premiering their shows. Jenna Dewan, you said Flirty that you liked, Dancing is coming.
You said you liked Flirty Dancing, didn't you?
You know, I was charmed by Flirty Dancing. I will not say that I'll watch it again, but I do find the concept charming, and I find like, it's a very earnest show, which I think is nice. They just teach two people to dance.
It's like that show that everyone loves, the Disney Plus show that everyone's like, it's just so sweet. Encore, which I will not watch. No offense. Yeah, I just won't.
No, thank you. So,
but it's that sort of thing. We're doing
Julianne
that
Hough
a lot
was not
now.
Involved with this one. She was involved with NBC's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which was hosted by Carson Daly, obviously.
Did you see Gordon Ramsay posted that photo of him shirtless with his son shirtless, but then his other son also shirtless, who's like a baby?
Why?
And everyone was like, Gordon Ramsay poses with his two boys, and one of them's like, I don't know, vaguely hunky, like 20 or 30 something, but then there's like, it's like Gordon Ramsay has a baby and they're all wearing, did you see this photo?
No, I don't need to see it though, but I promise you I don't need to see it.
No, but just like, look at this, it's very strange. This headline, Gordon Ramsay sends fans wild with shirtless Baywatch pit. It's just funny that both of those people next to him are his sons.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
Isn't that really funny?
Well, because one son is like a full adult. Like,
and one son is a baby.
And one son is a literal, not like, oh, he's young. He's an actual toddler. Barely a toddler. Why are they all wearing matching shorts?
It's really weird because I think they're wearing like, they're making a Baywatch joke.
I just can't believe it's like you can see the baby's diaper.
The little kid is like, ugh.
Like, he's like diaped up. And then the other son has like, I can see his like, love handles, his like sculpted love handles.
He captioned the snack, watch out The Rock and Zac Efron, there's a new Baywatch in town. It sent fans wild, with one commenting, oh my Gordon, another added, well dot I dot am dot sweating.
Are they like holding their hand over the photo of over the baby to say these things? Are they like like, I don't, it feels weird to be like, I'm horny for like this man and his hot son, and then it's like there's a baby in the photo. Who's also topless. Can the baby get a shirt? Okay, I can't look at this anymore. So back to New Year's Eve. NBC had Carson Daly, but most important had Julianne Hough sing a song, which was a big deal. Because, mm-hmm. like, she hasn't sung a song recently. I don't know. But she returned to singing while hosting that show. Julianne Hough going through time of change. Back into singing, she goes.
Julianne Hough going through the time of change?
I don't know.
She's going through the change.
She's going through the change.
But it just means you're going back to your original career.
A lot of rumors that Julianne Hough and her husband will be conscious decoupling.
Oh, yeah.
Conscious uncoupling in the 2020s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mm-hmm. 2020, meaning this year. That's just rumors. Don't attribute that to me. Look it up. What are you sending me now? Nope. Sorry. He sent me a photo of the photo of Gordon and his son, but his finger, his iconic finger, is covering up the baby. Thank you. So now I can
enjoy the photo.
Now I can be horny for this photo because I don't have to look at a baby. Okay.
Who hosted CNN? Oh, God. Andy's. This is the best. Andy's.
The Andes hosted CNN, and the only thing notable about their broadcast, again, didn't watch it, was at 11:34 p.m. ET, which is in Oman time, 8:34 a.m. That's actually definitely the best part of
Lindsay
this.
Lindsay has been in the new year for more than a third of a day.
So Lindsay woke up, celebrated the new year, and then like got camera ready so that at 8:30 a.m. Oman time, she's in the country Oman. She is calling in to Times Square New Year's Eve to tell them what? To tell them.
I can't answer that question. She's telling them what she's up to, sort of. Yes, I watched it. She tells them that she's about to do some recording stuff for her sister, Ali Lohan.
Look at Anderson Cooper's face. Like, okay, Lindsay Lohan. Like,
but do you have any resolutions going into 2020?
Yes, I do. I'm managing my sister, so I want to really focus on me and everything that I have to do in my life. And come back to America and start filming again, which I'm doing something soon in this new year. And just, you know, taking back the life that I've worked so hard for and sharing it with my family and you guys.
My favorite Times Square New Year's Eve coverage is the one that I don't even know how to get to, which is the Times Square New Year's Eve, which I think is the like local broadcast. But How do you even watch this? Remember, this was the one we were like, you can watch on Roku. Like, Roku was like, watch this one on Roku. And everyone was like,
yeah,
why?
I think
why
you
could
also, I think it also streams just on YouTube, because at the party I was at, They were streaming something on YouTube and everything was in Times Square. And it was very weird and it was also delayed. So there was like, people weren't paying attention that the stream was delayed. And then finally, someone noticed that they were like, it's already the new year. It's already the new year. And
it was, so far past the new year.
Oh, yeah. It was like a full minute past the new year.
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's a little delay. So this is the Times Square New Year's Eve. I think you can just watch this on like any screen. Like that's like if you were getting gas, you could watch it on that screen. If you were like, you know, if there was a TV on in your neighborhood just out, that would be on that screen.
It's on the elevators. It's on the elevators.
It was hosted by, of course, Jonathan Bennett.
He did it last year.
He did it last year. And maybe the year before that, because I remember it's been a few years. He's been doing it for a few years.
Yeah.
With street correspondents Andrea Boklo and Jeremy Hassel. I don't know who they are. I'm not looking it up.
She was formerly on Survivor.
Amazing. And he?
He is a model who wants to be a TV host. Because there's his TV host reel, so he is a TV host.
Well, good job. So those were the options you had. And honestly, you already had them, so I don't even know why we're like going over the options as if you have, you know. They already happened.
It's just funny to see the tapestry, you know, all the people that make up New Year's hosts.
It's true.
Which, like, choose your fighter, you know? Like, none of them are good. None of them are going to, like, get you through the new year.
And then a very, like, local representation of the day after, which is the Rose Bowl. I think that's, like, it's a very California thing to watch the Rose Bowl parade the next day. I personally didn't watch it. I kind of wish, the Rose Bowl parade is actually the one thing that I do want to watch, but I didn't watch it. But it really was funny because people did call in and say, who is this woman performing lip syncing at the Rose Bowl parade? Her name's Allie and everyone's calling her a superstar, but I don't know who she is. And I'm like, who is Allie? Like, is it Allie?
Is it Allie Main?
No. Doing like
it's
a bit?
It's just Allie Brooke.
It's Allie Brooke from Fifth Harmony. It's Fifth Harmony's, the former Fifth Harmony Allie Brooke, who performed a song on the Rose Bowl parade.
What I love about this Pasadena Star News story.
Yes.
With the headline, did Allie Brooke lip sync for her life during the Rose Parade opening spectacular? It ends with people, which is one of the funniest journalism moves of, you know, the past decade, is just to fill a story with tweets.
Yes.
Just embed tweets. Fill it
the
up.
People, if you say the people are talking, you can prove they're talking.
The people are talking and you can distance yourself from an opinion you don't really want to be associated with, even though you probably agree with it by just posting tweets
like,
of other people.
I didn't say Allie Brooke lip synced and was bad. These people on Twitter said that Allie Brooke was lip syncing.
Everyone's shading Allie Brooke, even though they don't know who Allie Brooke is. And the last one they embedded was, this Allie Brooke performance kicking off the Rose Parade is exactly the Who moment we need for 2020 at Who Weekly. Our mention is embedded.
So basically, we're now the scapegoat for the article.
Who Weekly is saying they don't know her.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's all about new beginnings this year and New Year's Eve, and we really appreciate you
and
joining us.
And
I wish you a healthy
being and
happy new year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we wish you the best. We're rooting for you, okay?
Thanks, right. Lindsay.
You take care.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low-dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm going to have people over, and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat. But doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Who Weekly. I just woke up. Who is Beth in Little Women? Should I know her? Crunch, crunch.
This is a very easy answer. Who is Beth in Little Women? It's Eliza Scanlon. Should I know her? I think is an amazing question.
But honestly, like, I don't even know if you have to if you're watching Little Women. Should you know her? I don't know.
I think the answer is no. Should I know her during Little Women? No. Should I have known her before? No.
She is the
half sister slash daughter in Sharp Objects.
Yes, that's her most famous role to date.
Before that, she was only on an Australian TV show, and that's it.
So that got her in the Little Women lineup,
mm-hmm.
which honestly is, and I throw this word around very lightly, obviously, an iconic lineup. Yeah.
I also thought this is a good question. I think should I know her is a question that we don't really address. Like,
no, it's a good way to ask.
Are you missing something? No. The answer is you're not missing something. It's okay. But I also wanted to use this as an excuse to talk about Little Women. If you wanted to talk about Little Women some more, because I know you love it so much.
I mean,
and we watched some more clips.
I could talk Little Women until the cows come home, until the lorries come home.
Now that I've
Europe.
Now that I've watched it again and I'm seeing it again this weekend.
Are you seeing it again this weekend?
I am seeing it. I'm seeing it on Sunday.
Uh-huh. I've seen it now 4 times, which I guess is like a little privilege, a little screener privilege for you. But
I have it paid for it. Lauren's birthday, and so she wants to see it for her birthday, and she wanted to actually see it in a theater.
I have paid for it also, I just want to say. I've paid for it.
As much as we love Shisha here on Who Weekly, gotta say, the rumors of Florence Pugh being the number one part of this movie are true.
Yes.
Florence Pugh is so much fun to watch in this movie. It's crazy.
It is her. I mean, I think it's funny. It's it's one of those types of breakout roles that makes you think that that's the best, only thing the person has ever done. When what's funny about Florence is that she was just in, I want to call her Flo, she was just in Midsommar, like she was the star in this huge movie that was the follow-up to this huge director's first breakout. You know, like she definitely did have an incredible year with these two mm-hmm. films. If these are the two films that you do in your year, you're doing great. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And she did more than that too. So she is poised to kind of zoom up into whatever. People are calling her the new J-Law, which, you know, TBD.
There was a debate on the Who Weekly Facebook group whether or not she's a who or a them. Results are in. Everyone correctly identified her as a who.
She's still a who.
Not a them. She is not a them.
I think her year is promising? Sure. Is she still a who? Yes.
Plenty of people have promising years and they don't become thems for a while.
Yeah. Is Eliza Scanlon still a who? You bet your dollars. Is Saoirse Ronan still a who? I guess not. Is she a them? People can still confuse
I'm confused
about her.
About her. But I'm confused that's fine. About her.
Yeah. You're confused about her?
You think I'm confused she's about her status.
Interesting.
And I think that this movie, I mean, she is really great in this movie and this movie is doing well. And I feel like she probably will get nominated for something. But despite that, I feel like she's still a who.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I don't know.
That's a little bit of a controversial opinion, I have to say. Timothée Chalamet still a who to you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Who else is in this fucking movie?
Meh. Laura Dern, them. Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, fucking Emma Watson. It's wild that she's the, like, the quote-unquote them, but she's the most forgettable part of the movie.
I know. I would say that she's the only them of the sisters.
Which is disgusting. Disgraceful.
And
terrible.
Saoirse,
bad.
But I think Saoirse's so confusing for people. Like,
I think
her Saoirse's only
a them. I think Saoirse's a them. I'm going to take the other side.
Just because of Lady Bird?
Lady Bird. Little Women. She's, like, literally everywhere. She's Greta Gerwig's muse. If you're theming, if you're hooing Timothée Chalamet in 2020, this is, I don't know. That's bad energy going into
I think Timothée Chalamet's impact is extremely overestimated.
Chalamet. I think he's overhyped, but I do think people know who he is in that hype. The hype helps. Okay.
I think it's tough. I think it's tough.
But we can agree, Eliza Scanlon, back to the question, should you know her? No. No, there are
but just, let's go back to Eliza
there
Scanlon.
There are just too many things for you to know. We're moving into the 20s. There's too many things for you to have to know, like safety, climate change, politics bullshit, everything. You do not have to bother yourself with knowing who Eliza Scanlon is. Mm-mm. Okay? Fine.
Rest I'll your give pretty you little that. Heads.
Yeah. My gift to you, okay?
Will you have debates with your friends over whether or not Saoirse and Timothée Chalamet are whos or thems? Sure. Feel
Fine.
Free. Use your time with that. Never use
call.
Your time with Eliza Scanlon.
Yes,
never.
Just know. She's still a who.
Hi. I am calling about the Michelle Williams getting pregnant and engaged, this Thomas Kail person. Literally no idea who he is. If you could talk about who he is in the larger scheme of, like, theater and stuff, I guess he's, it seems from some comments on the Facebook group, he's a theater them, confused. And then also I would love it if, like, maybe we could do, or you guys can do a deep dive into Michelle Williams' dating history, because I feel like it is littered with who's of Hollywood past, and music past. Thank you so much. Yummy Pop Scarjo. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Before you do this, I just got an email that I want to read.
Sure.
So on Friday, December 27th, I think I told you about this, I got an email from a PR person that said, hi there. Hope your holidays are going well.
They always say
just
hi
wanted there. To just wanted to see if you're interested in covering. Let me know what else you may need to run the below. Thanks in advance. You know, person's name. And then it's a press release that says, media alert. Jenna Dewan stays fit during the holidays at home using the hottest workout, Mirror. And it's just screenshots from her Instagram stories of her using Mirror. And she's like pregnant
right,
and
mirror.
Using Mirror.
Right.
She's using the Mirror, right. Blah, 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 blah. So right. It's someone doing Mirror right. PR.
Using it as a mirror or using it as workout?
She's using it as, well, in the photos, she's just using it as a mirror. Like, she's not
working out. Are you kidding? She's just looking at it into a mirror?
She's like cuddling her dog in one and taking a photo of it. And then
I also would use my mirror if just as a mirror.
And I think it's funny. I like forwarded it to a friend of mine. I was like, this is really funny. Forget about it.
Yeah.
38 minutes ago, I get an email. Golden. Jenna Dewan stays fit during the holidays at home using the hottest workout. Hi.
Just checking on this.
Hi. Just following up on the below. Would this be a good fit for coverage? Best. I'm just like, wait.
No.
You think I do? Because even if she knows about Who Weekly, what would I write about?
Right, but like, listen to what you're doing right now. This is what she wants. Literally.
You're right, but like...
She wants you to talk about Jenna Dewan using the mirror that also lets you work out or something. I still don't know what it is, and I refuse to have you like clarify that.
It's like a mirror that has rear projection. So like when you're... it's a normal mirror, but it can also project like... someone doing a workout so you can match
It's a
them.
Mirror that's so expensive that you feel bad that you bought it, so you have to work out.
And you only feel bad that you bought it and have to work out for like a month, and then you're like, I'm just gonna use this as a mirror.
Right. And then you're like, I own a like $2,000 mirror. Which, yeah, to be fair, is not the most expensive mirror anyone's ever bought that doesn't do the workouts.
Don't buy a mirror also, please don't.
It's so expensive for just a mirror. You know something's going to become just a mirror. Okay.
And also the technology's probably going to break inside of it, and good luck getting that mirror fixed.
Yeah, Jenna Dewan shows up. She's like, oh, I guess I'll fix it. That's my job.
Everyone got a Christmas gift that they were not expecting. It's like whenever your mom and... it's like whenever your parent is like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's something
serious. The elements of media literacy that were like so clearly... pumped into this release are mind-boggling. First of all, Michelle Williams announces
white
that
Michelle
not only
Williams.
Is she engaged, white Michelle Williams, actress Michelle Williams, not only is she engaged, but she's pregnant. Bitch, last I heard, you just broke out of another marriage. Honestly.
Last I heard, you were literally in mourning. That's a story of Michelle. That's the story of Michelle Williams.
Well,
last I heard, you were in mourning over whatever it is.
Over whatever it is. But the thing is with her is that this drops on the, what was it?
The 30th.
I was at Amina's house. I screamed. She was like, what's wrong with you? But then she agreed that I was right to scream. So 30th it drops. That is one of the slowest news days. It's the day in between Christmas and New Year's. Nobody's
working.
No one's looking at anything. Well, people are working.
No one's listening to podcasts.
No one's listening. Well, that's evidenced by our numbers. So they drop this news in the dead zone because they want it to get glossed over. They want the coverage to be like lazy and polite. Not only do they drop it on the 30th, they drop it with an exclusive people photo. This is not just like, here's a photo of us. Like, it's like, come take a photo of us walking down the street.
They saw Jonathan Scott and Zooey Deschanel and said, we can do one better.
We can do one better. It's got the people branding on it, the people exclusive badge on it. It's like them walking down the street, but it's like perfectly lit and shot to the gods. Just to be painted for a museum.
Like that photographer earned their day rate, I gotta say.
Yes, 100%. But they weren't like hiding in a bush. They were like,
no.
Smile. Okay.
Michelle, white Michelle and fiance, look over here. White Michelle, fiance, look at each
other.
White Michelle, hold your coffee up higher, white Michelle.
The other detail about this, which is the most intriguing to me, is that what is this weekend, which I just remembered. Fuck, what are we going to do for the Golden Globes? It's the Golden Globes. Okay, this weekend is the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And guess what's nominated for the Golden Globe? That's right. Michelle's work in Fosse Vernon. The show that I would say not a lot of people watched, but, you know.
Vernon.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah,
not like
Virgin.
My street? Not like Vernon Avenue?
It's okay. Not Vernon. She's Vernon.
I got it. Michelle is nominated for the show Fosse Vernon. And guess who she's engaged to / having the baby of? That's right. The director of many of the episodes of Fosse Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, she's
Thomas
incredible.
Cale.
His name is Thomas Cale. He worked on Hamilton. That's how everybody would know him, like outside of Fosse Vernon.
Mm-hmm. Because no one's paying attention to Fossey Verdon.
I know. Well, that's the thing with Fossey Verdon. Everyone's like, yay,
she's
Michelle.
She's incredible in it.
Right. It's like, but it's the same thing with like Judy. Like, it's like, Judy's not good, but is Renee Zellweger good? Sure. Like, she's incredible in it. But like, no one's watching Judy.
I'm not watching Judy.
So I love this coverage because we got like Lainey with like the fucking essay written about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And people's main questions about this reveal, aside from all the bells and whistles, is the timing.
So Lainey brought this up. Oh, no, they didn't brought this up. Anyone with half a brain brings this up because you're like, wait a second. Wait, you're engaged and you're pregnant? Like, let's rewind. Let's do a little math. You know, let's Left Eye Lopez do the math because things are going to be a little suspicious here. And this isn't even like me like moralizing. This is just me saying like there's more to the story that is not going to be told.
I mean, I just think that we, Michelle Williams, we kind of treat... She's someone on
Permanently
Oh, They
in Mourning.
Well, someone on Oh, They Didn't called her fake private, which I loved. Fake private.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's so private. But meanwhile, she's out here dating public figures left and right and kind of like stacked on top of each other in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Because the timing of Fossey Verdon, we don't know when they started like actually romantically being involved, but this started filming and they started working on it when she was dating Phil. Whose last name I'm now forgetting.
Elverum.
Who she was engaged to or married to. Did they just get engaged?
They were married.
Oh, my God.
They were married.
So she was married to this guy when she was working on Fossey Verdon. Mm-hmm. And he was married to his wife.
Angela Christian, who was an actress. A theater actress.
Right.
Her highest profile role was she was in the original Broadway run of Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Right.
She was like third lead under Sutton Foster.
Nobody is like directly just being like, they cheated. But everyone is kind of just doing a timeline that's like makes it seem there's just not enough time in this run for them to have done this without some sort of overlap is kind of the issue.
And even if it wasn't cheating, there was relationship messiness involved here in some way. Where it was like, they meet, and then she's like, I gotta end my marriage because I'm in love with this guy. You know, like, something happened on the set of Fossey Verdon, it seems.
I'm glad something happened on the set of Fossey Verdon. Sorry, it's so rude. And I guess this news dump, but now I'm thinking, is like, they're gonna obviously attend the Golden Globes together, and that's gonna be a lot of press. They wanted to get ahead of that, so they weren't announcing their relationship at the Golden Globes themselves.
That's the main thing.
Because that would have been a negative flavor to that, which is the negative flavor being, what the fuck is the timing on all this
like,
shit?
Like, why is she holding hands with the director of Fossey Verdon episodes 3, 6, and 9? You know, like, what?
Right. I love that Lainey's so funny. Lainey says, they're both nominees. So she says, as nominees both, technically Michelle and Thomas can each bring a plus one. Busy
like,
could totally
Busy.
Take a ticket.
She'll bring Busy.
Like, can Busy still come?
I hope Busy still comes.
Busy had a rough TV year. This would, you know, maybe this would help her or make her furious, whatever.
Busy had a rough year. Like, invite her to the fucking Golden Globes, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The internet loves you two together also. Like, it's only good press that will help balance out, like, everyone saying, who the hell is this person?
And Michelle had a good speech last year. Michelle, like, gives good Golden Globe.
Yeah.
So this is another year that she'll give good Golden Globe. This is to just announce that you're engaged and pregnant. That's coming out and saying you're married is also one of those big things too, where where all the public just is like, we skipped a whole step, or we, you know, not you did, but like, we didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just another one where we're just skipping right past to pregnant.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're the fake private comment from Oh, They Didn't is spot on, because it's a combination of her probably being a little private. And, you know, one of those actors who's like, I don't want my personality to get in the way of the characters that I play. She's not quite method, but she's something, you know. She really like goes in deep.
But she's something.
You know what I mean? Like, she's serious. Yeah. And also, she is has been almost eternally granted a pass by the paparazzi because of the way that they fucking treated her ex. The way they treated Heath.
Yes.
like, she was truly victimized in that whole thing. Like, right. That's such a tragedy in the world of, you know, not just celebrity, yes. but celebrity gossip and celebrity journalism. That's all a big old messy scene. So she will always get sort of a free pass from celebrity journalists and stuff like that.
Well,
like,
she'll just we're get gonna a cover lighter, her less. She'll get a lighter touch. I will say she'll get a free pass, but I think she'll get a lighter touch. Her dating history is pretty amazing, I gotta say. She has.
It is.
She's bagged some babes. She dated Conor Oberst for fucking 3 years.
Speaking Bobby of Natalie Portman, she dated Bobby Jonathan Cannavale.
She dated Spike Jones. She dated Jason Segel. She dated Jonathan Safran Foer. She dated
Spike Jones. Like, don't forget Spike Jones.
Spike Jones. There's rumors that she dated. This is from. Oh no, they didn't. But she dated Ethan McGregor, who was married. Apparently, they were messing around on the set.
Yeah. Ewan.
Ewan. What did I say? Ethan.
What set were they on?
They worked on Incendiary and Deception. Two movies I forgot existed. What's Incendiary and Deception?
I can picture the poster of Incendiary, but I never saw it. Yeah, the poster. I remember this poster. Never saw it.
Is it apparently Ewan and Michelle hooked up on that set. That was like in rumors. That was like gossip rumor.
I think the largest point to be made, which again, plenty of people are making, is that there's so much more to White Michelle than meets the eye. And you should always do a little digging when you see news about her.
My thing is, like, you know, maybe opposites attract, but if her best friend is Busy Phillips, she's also got to be a little bit more complex than just like this innocent, silent, quiet, woman that we all think that she is.
We've said that on the podcast before. It's like, there must be something much more fun about Michelle
That's
Williams
the point,
than meets
I
the
guess.
Eye.
Which is like not mean. If anything, it's just like,
no,
I think she's way more fun than we think that she, the box that we've put her in. But I also do feel like whatever publicist she's working with to like mastermind this release is some sort of self-satisfied evil genius to kind of like pull all of these strings together, because, oh boy, this took a lot of work.
I mean, Phillip's show was canceled, but Michelle seems like she's always busy tonight.
Oh, no. God, hit him where it hurts.
Ooh.
Ooh, boy. Okay.
Hi. So I think I missed my opportunity with this call after those deranged calls from last week. But I had a really burning desire to know if you guys think... Whoa. Sorry, driving. Okay, start over. Does Juno Temple know who Temple Grandin is? I mean, obviously, right? But does Temple Grandin know who Juno Temple is? I'm going to say no. Just because Juno Temple is very hooey. But... Anywho, just curious. French, French.
Bye-bye. This is truly...
The one connection these people have is their name, but...
There's no other connection. I mean...
They're very different types of people. One is an actor who is constantly playing, you know, the runaway or something. Right?
Yeah.
What was the thing that was her description in the movie that Justin Timberlake cheated on... Whatever, potentially cheated on Jessica Biel during. Like Juno Temple plays someone from a broken home or someone who ran away from home.
She's from a broken home.
It's constantly what she's playing.
Yeah.
So there's Juno Temple, and then there's Temple Grandin, who is best known for like shining a spotlight on autism.
Yes.
She works with animals. Claire Danes played her in a pretty iconic HBO movie called Temple Grandin.
Breaking down.
I can't talk about Temple. The poster for Temple Grandin is still one of the funniest things in the whole world.
It's still the thing about
it's Claire Danes. It's Claire Danes right between like I'm a child star to I'm becoming an adult star. Like right before Homeland, but after like Family Stone, which is sort of her last gasp. But like I'm the young one. Like I'm the like sister, and now she's Temple Grandin. Anyway, it's the funniest poster. I agree. Juno Temple knows who Temple Grandin is. We know who Temple Grandin is.
Temple? You think Juno Temple knows who Temple Grandin is?
I think so. Yeah. She watches HBO. She
likes
their names.
If Juno Temple has like read a book, she knows who Temple Grandin is. Like, yeah. I feel like that's just some, you know, if you pay attention,
Mm-hmm.
I think she's read a book in the Wikipedia for Juno Temple. She's mm-hmm. holding a book in the photo.
Oh, she's holding a book. What book is it?
The Healthy Home by Dr. Myron Wentz and Dave Wentz by Temple Grandin. That would have been incredible. No, she's clearly okay. at a book party or mm-hmm. something.
Okay.
So you're saying that Juno Temple knows who Temple Grandin is?
Yeah, I think so. The caller said that too, and I think I agree. I'm inclined to agree.
There's no evidence.
Are you not?
Well, there's just no evidence for it.
I just feel like she probably saw the movie. That's why? Sort of what I think.
Oh, here's why. Juno Temple was on an HBO series called Vinyl. So
she's watching the HBO catalog.
She's yeah. interested in HBO.
She's walked down the halls of HBO where they have all the posters, the big posters.
She saw the poster.
And she's like, oh, Temple Grandin. She's
said,
seen, oh,
that?
Temple Grandin.
And they said, Claire Danes was Temple Grandin. She said, no, what is that? Oh, it's Claire Danes as Temple Grandin.
That's Temple Grandin. Oh, okay.
Okay. So, but does so
she's,
Temple...
She's walked by the big poster.
Does Temple Grandin know... Absolutely not. No way. No shape. No. Absolutely not.
I've never been more confident.
But not just because it's Temple Grandin. Do you know Temple Grandin's real name is Mary? Whatever, I'm just
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My Wikipedia point early. Is that she literally has so much to do. She invented the hug box. She invented, though, a new way, a slaughterhouse device that is, like, kinder to animals.
Mm-hmm.
She is just busy. Too busy. Right?
She's...
What are you laughing at? She's literally...
To say that's why Temple Grandin doesn't know who Juno is.
Okay, well,
she's
whatever.
Too busy.
I'm sure she's thinking about other things is what I'm saying.
Yes,
she's
yes.
not fixating on who is Juno Temple.
Absolutely not.
She's written so many books.
She's trying to figure out how to be more humane to animals. She's trying to figure out how to make the lives of people with autism better. She does
not
have the bandwidth.
She's not watching gritty dramas on HBO or wherever else Juno Temple is. What if Temple Grandin's like her? She's like, my like guilty pleasure is watching gritty dramas. And I'd be like, no, she knows who she is.
Temple Grandin impression.
Because
we don't get to do Temple Grandin.
Well, I wasn't doing an impression. I was just being. I mean, hasn't Claire Danes done enough?
God, I'm.
You could
crying.
Put a clip of her. Please put a clip of her doing Temple Grandin here.
Self-stimulation does seem to eventually calm the nervous system. It can be a way to compensate for not being held.
Juno Temple is British? No one told me Juno Temple was British. I thought she was from Pennsylvania.
Why?
I thought she was from like the. The Rust Belt or somewhere. I don't know.
She's a good actress.
Juno Temple is British.
Meanwhile, Temple Grandin can't fake it to save her life. So she's brutally honest about not knowing Juno Temple. Also, Temple Grandin is 72 years old.
Yeah, Temple Grandin's had a nice long life.
Okay, so unless she is settling down for some gritty dramas, she's not going to know who Juno Temple is.
My guilty pleasure is gritty dramas. Okay. Can we not do Who Are Them?
We're busy. It's been
we're very busy.
We can save this.
We're very busy. Yeah. We're going to save this for next week. There are a lot of things on Who Are Them, but we've done too much for you already. we've done too much to you, honestly. Yeah. We're so sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There. Thank you for continuing to listen to us in the new year. We're so happy you came. Happy New Year.
We're so happy.
Get back to work. Get back to work.
You came.
Call in at 619 Who Them if you want to be a part of this show in the future. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. Oh, we gotta give out on the Patreon's gonna have a secret number, by the way. Patreon gets to call us at a secret number.
Oh, we're doing
another
that?
Another reason to be a Patreon.
Are you saying that on the podcast so that we actually do it?
Yeah, I thought you got it.
I guess. No, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, I thought you did get it, but that's easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna have a secret number, and we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey. I want to be famous.
Where in the world is Hillary Swank?